A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 17, 1998, in the series Christian Faith, Interpretations of Experience, entitled, What Will You Do with the Story? The texts for the sermon are Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, and Luke 24, verses 28 through 35 and 50 through 53. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
It's Eastertide, and during this season we have noted that all religion is a human project, which is the response to a certain awareness, and that traditions grow out of the interpretation of an awareness of an experience. Peter thought he was going fishing in Galilee again when he was convinced that the Lord was the living resurrected one. Paul thought he was on the way to Damascus to stamp out the last remnants of the way when he was confronted with a light and a voice that turned him around in his tracks. Mary, weeping at the tomb, saw no future until someone spoke her name. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was ready to drag him home, but the last picture we have of her is with her other sons worshiping in the upper room. And now, 2,000 years later, and here we are gathered, we are in a continuous line from those early interpretations of the experience of one who was crucified and who was experienced as living yet, a vital, living, creative presence. 2,000 years of tradition, 2,000 years of understanding the interpretation, and through the interpretation and its proclamation, having experience that has continued to bring forth interpretation and create community that gives us a story which enables us to understand the nature of our life, God, and the mystery of it all. A story that brings us together, helps us to understand and interpret our human experience further. That's the experience of a faith community, such as we are. And in this community this morning, we have welcomed these, our young people, to the journey of faith with us. There was a time, perhaps they are too old, the process didn't start yet, but now an infant in arms is baptized here and thereby becomes a member of the community. The baptism marks a child as belonging, as being a part of the family. And so a candle is given to the parents, and the parents are encouraged to tell the child as the child grows, to tell the story of the moment of baptism and the reason for the baptism, to tell the story of the family story. And then here at church as well, Sunday mornings, liturgy, sermons, worship center, and now stepping stones, seventh and eighth graders for 2 years, listening to the story, trying to understand the story, understanding it as an interpretation that gives an understanding of human life, a story that is focused on the God whom we have seen embodied in the Word made flesh in Jesus, and who is present with us in the Spirit that goes on with us. And this morning, a second candle was given to our young people. You young people probably don't feel what a dramatic moment this is You can't possibly feel it as I do. But some of you out there can, because we have changed everything, even though it's only a nuance. This morning, we inaugurate the rite of Christian identity. No longer confirmation, no longer profession of faith, no, the rite of Christian identity. These young people can't join the church. They belong to us. These young people cannot be expected to do something that is not normal and natural in their development for them to do. At a time when so much is happening to them, this wonderful, exciting, confusing, and troublesome time, when they're experiencing all sorts of new experiences biologically, socially in relationship, educationally, as life opens up to them, options, choices, a time in which they have so much to discern, so much to decide, so much to discover. Traditionally, the church has put a heavy hand on them and has called forth their faith commitment, drawing a line over which they had to step. I have known intuitively for a long time that that was wrong. I have known intuitively that our process with our young people has not been honest to the human situation. And finally, at Christ Community, we are simply being bold enough to act out what we have come really to believe. And that is that at this time, these marvelous, full of potential, bright young people are simply recognized as assuming responsibility for their faith journey. Now, as I said a moment ago, we're not going to cut them off or abandon them. But we are recognizing that they belong. They're part of the family. If there is ever a time that they are going to have to need to know that they belong, that they're loved and cared for, trusted and valued, it is this time in their life. Not putting a tension on them to draw out from them that which may well be superficial and could well be rebelled against because it's not authentic. Rather, simply throwing our arms around them, giving them a candle, telling them how much we value, love, and trust them, and inviting them to go with us on the journey of faith. And they will. You can't take a class like this and say, here is what you must believe. You can't believe what you don't believe. To say, I believe, is a personal statement of inward conviction. We can't find some magic year at which to say, now, this is what you must believe and this is what you must do. That's wholly unrealistic and it is finally dishonest. They are part of the family. We love them. They go with us now. We have to say to them, finally, you have to believe. Finally, it's not what the pastor says. It's not what your teachers have said. It's not what the ancient church has claimed. Finally now, it's what do you believe? And how will you live? We respect you enough and trust you enough to engage in that journey with us, for indeed, we are all engaged in it. At this point, who is to say what they'll do with the story? If I said to you, what will you do with the story? In all honesty, you would have to say, I don't know what I'll do with the story. But we can be sure, because we've been this way as well, that there will be those moments of awareness. And finally, that's what it's all about anyway. That's why Luke tells us the story of the two on the way to Emmaus. They were telling Jesus in the part just before we started reading. Well, they said, some women went to the tomb and the tomb was empty and some angels appeared to them. But there was still no Easter faith. They said that others went to verify the women's story. But there was still no Easter faith. Because faith is not the consequence of a factual, empirical quest for that which is real. This is not a matter of verifying that the tomb is empty, therefore there must have been a resurrection, therefore I better believe. No, not at all. There was no Easter faith in spite of the fact that they had determined the tomb was empty, because Luke wanted to say it's not a matter of that. It is what happens when you sit at table and this stranger breaks the bread, blesses it, and gives it to them, and their eyes are open. And suddenly they say, what, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way? And their eyes were opened and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And they wanted to reach out and grab him and freeze the moment forever, and he was gone. He vanished out of their sight. Because Luke is telling us that there are those moments of awareness when we know, and when that moment of awareness brings us that certainty, our lives are transformed. They are marked indelibly forever. But not once for all. This is where we have erred, and I think handled our youth poorly, but also we have failed to see the wonder of the ongoing journey of faith. Because Emmaus continues to happen. Oh, I love what John Dominic Crossan says about the Emmaus story, reflecting, I think, Luke's real intention. He says, Emmaus never happened. Emmaus always happens. And it happens not just at some critical moment, done then for the rest of life. It happens whenever our eyes are open, whenever we say, I see. Sitting at table, bread broken, and suddenly we say, my God. That is the transforming moment. And it happens again and again and again, or we are dead. It is the moment of awareness that it will come to you. It will come to you at some critical moment, conversations with a friend, with a parent or a grandparent. As the years go by, as your pilgrimage continues, meeting the love of your life, perhaps holding a newborn infant, maybe laying to rest the dearest person in your life. It goes on, doesn't it? It's not as though it's, boom, do it now, 1, 2, 3, this body of doctrine, assent to this, it's over. Friends, these young people have simply this morning come in step with us in the journey of faith, which is an ongoing story. So you see, don't coerce it, because we're not going to coerce it. We're going to trust the Spirit of God. God's at work in your life. You belong to us. We belong to you. And don't panic. They're a time of discovery, of experimentation. As the song that we just sung said, they have to go out and find where demons dwell. But trust the process, which is trusting the Spirit. Because one day, well, we would suggest that they take this candle and May 17, 1999, they light it on the table as the family gathers and remember this moment. And again, 2000, May 17. And 2001, May 17. But to be honest, some of you aren't even going to get the candle home. And God loves you anyway. But you know, there will be a moment for one or another of them. Something that touches them deeply in the core of their being. And they're going to rummage around in an old trunk where there are photo albums and mementos. And they're going to find a candle. And they're going to set it up on the table and they're going to light it. And they're going to say, I do believe. I do belong. And they'll know. They'll know. And all will be well. This morning in the first service, they weren't here. But more than one person went out of here with tears, saying, I feel like one of those young people. I want to light a candle. I need to say again, I believe. That's the marvelous thing about the faith journey. It just never ends. And the wonder grows. And the love of God holds us together in community in the meantime. So, what are you going to do with the story?